Blog Talk Radio.
Walk with me. Take my hand.
Good evening. Sorry about that. That was the Four Tops, Still Waters Run Deep. And this is Delicious Talk Radio, this segment bringing sexy back. I'm your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. Here on Delicious Talk Radio, we discuss topics of sexual nature, but not limited to social topics such as relationships, current affairs, and just good old adult conversations. We don't discuss religion or politics. We also have the most fascinating guests of Blog Talk Radio on our show. Of course, this couldn't be done without my great co-hosts and you, my listening audience. We're here to entertain, and you might even learn a thing or two. We do appreciate how you guys participate by asking your questions and making comments. Please continue to support the number one Blog Talk Radio station, Delicious Talk Radio. Spread the word. Let your friends know that we're here every Wednesday night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for your listening pleasure. Tonight, we have a very special guest. She's Josanna Dennis Frazier. She was born and raised in Rockland County, New York. She earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration from Mercy College in Doves Ferry, New York. She also earned a Master of Science degree in Urban Affairs from Hunter College of the CUNY in New York, New York. Josanna has committed her career to working in the nonprofit social service industry and has worked in the arena for over 15 years. When she isn't working, Josanna enjoys reading and drumming up new ideas for her future books. Josanna currently lives in Long Island, New York, with her husband, their daughter, and the family's rebellious dog, Sparky. Wow, that's very interesting. So without further ado, we're going to bring in this evening's guest, and we're going to find out how she went from being a wife, mother, and owning a dog with all her degrees to her journey of writing. Without further ado, Josanna, are you there?
I am. I am. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, I know that you're from New York and you're married, but growing up, how would you, did you have any brothers and sisters?
I do. I have two older sisters and an older brother. A tight-knit family. We grew up in Rockland County, New York, more specifically Nyack, New York. I've since moved to Long Island, where I've lived for the past 10 years.
Oh, okay. And you have a daughter. How old is your daughter?
She's 8 years old. She's the light of my life.
Oh, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. And your little dog, Sparky, he must be a joy, too.
Oh, he is. He is.
Well, you know, we're going to get right to the point. How did you go from being a mother and a wife and, you know, loving your daughter and your dog Sparky to becoming an author? What inspired you?
Well, I've always loved to write. From the time that I can remember in elementary school, I was sort of a loner, and I found writing as a source of solace for me. So I would write and, you know, keep journals and write short stories, and I've never stopped writing. I would say about 3 years ago, I really, really took the journey seriously, and I started writing my manuscript, and I couldn't stop writing, and I realized that this is indeed my passion. And as it turned out, that writing turned into Cage Bird, and here I am now.
Oh, okay. So Cage Bird, how did you come up with the title of your book?
Well, readers will learn about Jasmine Jordan and her journey and growth in the story. As I wrote the story, for reasons that are explained in the book, and I can't go too much into it because I don't want to spoil it for readers.
Right.
But you will find that Jasmine is a caged bird. But as I continue to write, other characters were also caged birds in their own right, whether it be relationship issues, whether it be their behavior. And it wasn't just solely Jasmine who was that caged bird.
Okay.
That's basically where I took the title from.
Okay. Now, your characters, first of all, let me ask you, because most writers, I know that some of their ideas come from their own experiences in life, something they may have gone through or been through or going through. Is any of the book anything that you've gone through or been through or going through?
Well, I would have to say, in all honesty, I was inspired to write this book from my own childhood experiences. During my childhood, I did witness instances of domestic violence, and because of that, I'm strongly opposed to it. And I knew in starting to write this novel, I wanted to incorporate domestic violence and getting through that journey in the storyline. And I felt it was a subject that needed to be discussed, as so many women, men, children suffer in silence. And I wanted it to be a core piece of my story.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say this. I did read your book and was very impressed by it.
Thank you.
Jasmine and Terrence were woo, you know, because I'm not going to give any of the book away either,
right.
But it was really, you know, thought-provoking and, you know, like I said, a very good read as far as I'm concerned. Now, you spoke of domestic violence. Was this in your family or someone you knew?
It was in my family. At a tender age of 5 or 6, I witnessed it within my own childhood between my parents. You know, I won't go too much into it, but it's since you know, growing up and remembering those experiences, and knowing how it can, how someone can evolve and learn from it and grow from it. I definitely wanted to incorporate domestic violence in the storyline, because if this story can help, even if it is a work of fiction, if it could help one person get through an instance of domestic violence or help them to heal, then my book has served its course.
Right. Understand. Because right now domestic violence is an epidemic, you know, and it's just to the point where, you know, it affects everybody, you know, a family. It could affect a whole family. You know, women are being burnt, stabbed, shot, you know, just going through the whole gamut of being domestically abused. And I don't want to leave the men out either, because some men are being domestic violent relationships as well, but it's more prevalent with women. And, you know, sometimes it's swept under the rug and it's not discussed, or women are too afraid to come forward, you know. And like you said, if your book does help at least one woman, you know, that's one woman that, you know, we no longer have to worry about, because, you know, it's just terrible, you know, how a woman has to live in shame and fear, you know, on the count of her quote-unquote lover or husband, boyfriend, or significant other who's, you know, abusing her for no reason. So let's talk about, well, you know, I really don't want to give this book away. I just want everybody to get this book and read it themselves.
Definitely.
But, you know, it was just so thought-provoking. How long did it take you to write The Caged Bird?
Wow. Well, as you mentioned, I am a wife. I'm a mother. I work full time. It took me 2 years to develop the story, to actually write it. And it, I can honestly say Caged Bird is a labor of love. I would say writing is one of my, writing it while working and being a mom and wife was one of the most frustrating moments of my life, because it was so difficult to find the time to write. so I would have to say 2 years, but it was a long, hard 2 years.
Who was your biggest supporter at the time when you were writing Caged Bird?
Oh, by all means, my husband. my best friend, you know, even walking through the editing piece of it, we would go over storylines. If something didn't sound right, we would walk through and, you know, possibly find alternatives for the story. And you know, he is my biggest support system. So I would have to say hubby.
Okay. All right. So have your sisters and brothers read the book? And what do they have to say about it if they read it?
Of course, all very proud of their little sister. I can't say anything bad that they said about it. And their support is by all means welcome, and you know, it's just a great feeling. It really is.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. What is your next move? Are you going to do a sequel to the book?
Or I am.
Are you going to... I thought so.
Definitely. I think so. I think, you know, I of course, I don't want to give too much away. But I think, you know, there's still a lot to be said. You know, I don't feel that the Jasmine and Xavier storyline is finished. And of course, I want to bring back some of the characters from the story, and I want to bring in some new ones. So there will definitely be a sequel to the storyline.
Okay. All right. Well, let me ask you this. In marketing your book, did you do all the marketing yourself, or you had someone to help you with that?
I did a lot of the marketing on my own. However, I do have staff from Urban Edge Publishing, my parent company. I have someone on staff who also assists me. And that would be Shanice Anderson. I have to put her out there.
Oh, okay.
She's great.
And your book signings are... Are they from city to city, or are you just working in New York?
From city to city. I have my next book signing coming up in October. That will be in Elizabeth, New Jersey, at the second annual Independent Authors Book Expo. And that's in October, specifically October 24th. And then I have my next book signing in Lithonia, Georgia, and that's at the First Read Expo.
Okay. Okay. Oh, let's see. I'm really lost for words because I really want to talk about that book, but woo. Yeah, it was
for the readers. Thank you. Thank you. For the readers, I think it's a great read. Of course, I'm biased, but I think it's a great read. I think it's informative. I think it leaves you food for thought. So I would encourage you to go out and purchase a copy and see for yourself. You won't be disappointed.
Right, right. So, there's a who's the protagonist in the book? Can you speak of that?
I would have to say Terrence. He is, he is quite a character. He is a chauvinist. He's a very strong has a very strong personality. But at the same time, you know, it's deeper than what is written. There's definitely something in his background that, of course, affects him, which will be established in book two. But I would have to say he is quite a character. I'll let readers form their own opinion of him. But I've heard some remarks already about his character in the book.
Okay. Now, who's the antagonist?
Antagonist, wow. Possibly Jasmine's cousin, Erica Jordan. She's a doozy. she's sassy. She speaks her mind. She knows what she wants. She's lived a little bit. So at this point, and she's acquired a lot on her own. And at this time, she almost feels as if, you know, she's coming to her own. So she's walking in her truth. She knows who she is, and she's confident in that. She's probably one of my favorite characters in the book.
Okay. Now, how did you come up with their names?
When I first developed the storyline, I first developed the characters and how I saw them, and I wanted to give them strong names and names that fit their characters. So I would say that's how it came along. It was first creating the character and then developing the names from there.
Okay. Wow, that's really something. So you are going to do a sequel, and then after the sequel, since your passion is writing, what type of genre are you going to stick to, or are you going to do all genres?
I think all genres. I don't want to box myself in. You know, I there's so many different things you could get into writing. You know, I want to do, you know, African American literature, but I want to venture out and possibly do, you know, young adult paranormal, or, you know, I just don't want to box myself in and leave it to just, you know, a certain genre of reading. So I'm open to it all. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Okay, so do you have an agent, a literary agent, or?
I don't at this point. I don't. I'm mostly working on my own. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So did you self-publish your book, or? I know you were
the
publishing company.
Right.
But,
I was published under Urban Edge Publishing, which is a small publishing house out of Atlanta. Very supportive publishing house.
Well, what was the process of you finding your publisher?
You know, it's funny. I went in blind. I completed the manuscript and I sent it out to different publishers, and getting feedback, and Urban Edge was one of the first few who actually contacted me back, and that's how we were in contact. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, because I know some folks get the publisher first, because I had a publisher publish my first four books before I started my own publishing company, and I was introduced to my publisher, you know, before my book was finished, you know, but, you know, people do it different ways.
Right.
And I know traditionally you would send your manuscript to different publishers, if you know, if that's the way you're going to go.
Right.
But you learn different things as you go along, because from the beginning, I really didn't even have the intentions of publishing my book until I was on MySpace and had put up some excerpts of my book, and a young lady had inboxed me and asked me was I interested in have my works published because it was good.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I really, you know, never thought of that. But when she had introduced me to my publisher, you know, it was on, and I published four books with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started my own publishing company. I published one book under my company. But, you know, like, you know, people do it differently. And I've never had an agent. You know, did my own marketing and, you know, book signing and different things of that nature. Because sometimes I think you can get things done when you're doing them yourself. Not to say that you don't need help or someone
right.
to, you know, help you at times. But sometimes you have to be very cautious of the people that you engage with. Because when I first started writing, someone had sent me something, I don't know if it was an email or something, it was explaining to me all these different things to do and what not to do and this and that, and I'm just saying, well, I don't really know anything as far as the publishing world was concerned, you know, but you have to do your own investigation.
Yeah.
You know, you can ask questions and, you know, talk to people who've done what you're trying to do, you know, opposed to somebody who's never done it, because they can't tell you anything, you know. So
definitely,
it seems like it's working out for you, and that's a good thing.
Definitely, and I would have to say my publishers, they're very supportive. If I ever have a question, you know, they're just a keystroke away from answering any questions, you know, and. Some of this is trial and error. You're learning as you go along.
Right.
So hopefully by the second book, I'll you know, be an expert at this, hopefully. So.
Right. Well, do you ever intend to self-publish a book, your books yourself?
You know, quite honestly, I haven't thought about it, you know, because this is a new process for me. I'm open to learning new things. I'm a quick learner,
right.
So I won't say it's out the door, But I, quite honestly, for me, I like the comfort of having my publisher there.
Right.
But that's just for me, you know. It
right.
may not be what everybody else is comfortable with dealing with.
Right. Well, when I first got with a publisher, I thought that was the best thing as well, because
yes.
you learn a lot when you're with a publisher,
yes.
and that way when you do want to venture off, you do have that knowledge, you know, that you can
Definitely.
Use on your own. So I think mm-hmm. I would suggest that anyone who, you know, writes a book should go with a publisher first.
Definitely.
And then, you know, if you want to venture off and do self-publishing, you'll have that knowledge, you know what you're doing and, you know, different things like that, because I was with my publisher for through four books, and, you know, I learned a lot, you know, a lot enough to start my own publishing company. As a matter of fact, when I was with her, she had suggested that I start my own publishing company.
Wow. Okay.
And I said, no, because I had gotten so comfortable being with her.
Right.
You know,
right.
but, you know, after yeah. things went the way they went and I started my own publishing company solely, basically for my own self. But, you know, things worked out.
That's
they
great.
Worked out. Really? You have to step out on faith and,
yes.
You know, you just have to do what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. And
yes.
I think writing this book was definitely a step out on faith. You know, sometimes you just have to let go of the fear of, you know, what will people think? How will they receive the book? How, you know, you have to let go of that. If this is something you're passionate about, if this is something that you really want to do, you have to let go of those fears and just move forward. You know, take that.
Right, and then another thing, you have to write what you feel, you know, what's coming
yes,
from your heart.
Yes,
you know,
definitely.
I had a friend to tell me, she says, well, if you're not going to be writing what people want to read, you know, then how do you expect them to like your books? I can't write what people want to read because everybody's
right.
different. I have to write what I
yeah.
feel, what comes from my heart. And I know that there are people out there who, you know, enjoy my books, you
mm-hmm.
know. So,
Definitely.
I, you know, I already know that. And, you know, I continue to write. I'm working on my, working on a couple of books now, but
okay.
I've been a little bit busy, but my passion is writing as well.
Right,
I love to write.
Right.
And I love to
Definitely.
Read. But I'm not going to let anybody deter me or to tell me that, you know, you shouldn't write this way, write that way, write this,
right.
do this. No, because mm-hmm. I'm writing from my heart. And that's the best kind of writing that you can do, that comes from your heart, you know.
Definitely.
Because
and
there's
I also
people
think
out there,
once you stop doing that, you lose that passion once you stop
yes.
writing for yourself.
Mm-hmm. You definitely do. You most definitely do. Well, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to Bringing Sexy Back, right here on Delicious Talk Radio. There is no religion or politics spoken here. Only delicious adult conversation. Audience participation is encouraged, so log in and create an account to engage in conversation in our chat room. Feel free to call in with your questions and comments at 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And let's get this delicious talk conversation going.
Listen up, I got to tell you about this beautiful author and publisher, Gail Delicious Johnson. Gail Delicious Johnson is proud to announce the publication of her new, revised issue of her latest suspenseful novel, Back to Zero. Read this riveting story of intrigue, conflict, love, and suspense. Follow the trail of abuse, secrets, lies, and love. And check it out. You can't just read the back of the book, because you have to prepare yourself for the mind-blowing, explosive ending. Order your personally autographed copy of Back to Zero by visiting www.jjpublishing.com. That's www.jjpublishing.com. Back to Zero is a fictional story with a dash of reality. It's a tale about Anthony Thomas, a man who lost the most precious things in his life, starting with his first childhood love, Gloria. Tragedy soon followed after losing his mom to cancer, and shortly thereafter, he lost his wife, Lynn, and son, Junior, in a horrific car crash. With each traumatic incident, Anthony was branded, sending him back to Zero. 30 years later, Anthony runs into Gloria, and the flames in their hearts are still burning. Gloria, now a law enforcement official who also comes with baggage, a psychotic husband named Wayne Anderson who is out of control. He, too, is a law enforcement official that's abusive, jealous, and an alcoholic.
Wayne treats Gloria miserable. While snooping behind his wife, he finds out that she had research information concerning Anthony on the internet. Wayne goes into a rage of madness like a rabid dog because in his sick, twisted mind, he feels threatened and accuses Gloria of sleeping with Anthony. Often, he would evict her from the house, but not realizing the night would come when he forces his wife straight into the arms of Anthony. After spending an intense, earth-shattering night of lovemaking, Gloria opens up and confesses to Anthony that she still loves him. Rekindling their relationship is dangerous, and Wayne will stop at nothing to make his wife and her first love's life a miserable hell while fighting his own demons. Wayne harbors a deep, dark, and deadly secret, one he thought he and only the devil knew. Find out what happens when Gloria uncovers the truth about her abusive, lawless husband's mysterious past. The devastation will bring the three of them together in an explosive confrontation. Find out the shocking secrets Wayne harbored and prepare yourself for who will pay the ultimate price for his lawless actions. Gail Delicious Johnson says, Back to Zero will take you where the law becomes the abuser. Order this fast-paced, action-packed field drama by best-selling author Gail Delicious Johnson from her web store at JJ Publishing. That's J-A-Y-J-A-Y Publishing.com. Remember, abuse is never an option.
All right, we're back here at Delicious Talk Radio, the segment Bringing Sexy Back. And I'm your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. And I do have my co-host, Terry, on the line. Good evening, Terry. How are you, darling?
Good evening, Gail, and how are you this fine evening?
I am fantastic. We have a fantastic guest this evening, Josanna Dennis Frazier, who's wrote her first book, The Caged Bird, and I'm quite sure you've been listening in. We really
yes,
don't
I
want
am.
To give up that much on the book, but it's a book she wrote, and she was inspired to write it because of witnessing domestic violence at a very young age. As most of us women, if we haven't witnessed it, maybe we've been involved in it ourselves, because I am a survivor of domestic violence and sexual abuse myself. And my books will display that, you know, even though my books are fictional, there's
yes.
a lot of actual events and things that actually happen.
Let me just say
so
that welcome.
Thank you.
I am also from Long Island, New York.
Okay.
So we have that in common.
Yeah.
Born and raised in New York and brought up on Long Island.
Okay.
Every time I am on Gail's show, I am not kidding you. There is always something that I experience, and a lot of people don't know, but I am also a survivor of sexual abuse, all kind of abuse at the hands of other people. I'm a survivor of criminal abuse, of being stabbed on a street and almost dying. I have been abused by husbands and relationships. I have had to go to court and put people away because of that type of abuse. So I know about abuse, and I am a survivor. So having said that, I just want to say that I am really, really excited about your book and knowing about it. And I'm excited about being a New Yorker and being a Long Islander. So it's very nice to meet you.
Same here.
Wow.
Thank you.
That was really nice. And I also would like to let the listening audience out there know, if you have any questions or comments for Josanna, please call in. The call-in number is 646-658. Is that the number? 652-287.
You want me to tell you the number?
I don't know where that number came from, but anyway, I'm sorry. The number is
642-2877.
All right. Thank you, darling. Sometimes I have
You're
so
welcome.
Many numbers in my head until I forget. I ask myself, is that my phone number? Wait a minute. But that is the number, 646-652-2877. Again, if you have any questions or comments for this evening's guest, feel free to call in and say what you want to say, you know. Yeah, so with that being said, we're going to get right back to Josanna. And we're
and
not
I'm
really
so
going
sorry.
Off the
it's,
topic.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's Josanna.
Oh, Josanna. I am so sorry, darling.
No worries.
Josanna. Okay, I've been calling you Josanna. Josanna. Okay, that's Josanna,
no
everybody.
Worries.
Sorry about that. And you know,
no,
that's the craziest thing, because I worked with this girl for almost 2 or 3 years, and I was calling her whole complete different name. And the only reason why I learned her real name, because we were standing at the elevator one day, and somebody came up to her and called her by her name. I said, is that your name? She said, yeah. I said, well, why did you let me call you all these years by the other name? Well, I know
sometimes it's easier
to me.
Just
I said,
let it
oh,
go.
My goodness, don't, you know, call me by my right name, because I, you know, and I really wasn't being disrespectful or anything, but she just never said anything.
Right,
you know,
right.
So sorry for, you know, correcting me on that and letting the listening audience know. So we're going to, you know, we're not straying away from the topic, which is your book, but, you know, this thing, this epidemic of domestic violence needs a voice as well. You know, just like Terry had mentioned, she's been abused. I've been abused. And, Josanna, I don't think that you mentioned you were never in an abusive relationship or anything like
no,
that, were you?
No. I just witnessed it as a child.
Well, that can be just as devastating as a child as well, but you didn't experience it. But, you know, some things like that have very bad impressions on children, especially if they're seeing somebody that they love being abused, you know.
Definitely, and it has lasting effects, yes.
Yes, it does. Now, I've never seen my mom or my dad being abusive towards one another. My father was an alcoholic. But he was the type of alcoholic that got drunk and went to sleep. But he would always, whenever my mother would have their little arguments, you know, he would always call my mother a fink. And that was, you know, it was kind of funny, you know, because how he would say it, his lips would just be so pronounced, yeah, fink. But I never witnessed, you know, my father and mother never were violent towards one another. Now, myself, I've been in a domestic violence relationship. I was in a relationship for 13 years with a gentleman, and after the first two years was like heaven. I'm telling you, this was a guy that I was in love with.
Mm-hmm.
And then the abuse started, and I stayed in that relationship for 13 years. And looking back, I asked myself, why did I do that to myself? You know, and found out years later, because I always thought when we had our discrepancies and our arguments and our fights that my children didn't know anything about it. But finding out years later, my daughter told me that she, you know, would hear us when we were, you know, arguing and stuff like that.
Right.
'Cause I'm thinking they would sleep or whatever, but it had an effect on, you know, my kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we don't want our kids to, you know, be in any type of pain or, you know, suffering for anything that we've done or we've caused them. And God knows I've caused pain to my children because of different things that happened, you know, in my life. But if we can protect our children and keep them from, you know, going through the harsh and horrible things that life has to offer, then, you know, that's a good thing. But, you know, as yourself, Josanna, seeing that domestic violence, like you said, it has a lasting impression, because when kids see things like that, you know, it can go a good way or it can go a bad way. They could carry
Definitely.
That on with them, and then they could project. They can grow up and become a person who, you know, abuses someone because this is
right.
what they saw, and they may, you know,
right.
think it's okay for daddy to hit mommy, or it's okay for
mm-hmm.
mommy to hit daddy upside the head with a frying pan. You know, it's
but
not
let me,
okay.
Let me put a second spin on that also. My husband, my first husband, which is my daughter's father, I never had any abuse from him at all. It was my second husband, and I would send my daughter to my brother's house so that she wouldn't see us in an altercation. But the situation with another thing where I was stabbed was a boyfriend, and his ex-girlfriend stabbed me on a street, and I almost died from that, and that was a horrible situation. And then I had another boyfriend for 4 years who constantly abused me, sent me to the hospital with broken ribs, all kind of stuff. But then after all this post-traumatic stuff happened to me, I found myself being a person that would do that to my husband.
Right.
That I have now. We've been married 23 years. And I found myself being an abuser.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid.
Because hurt people hurt people.
Yes. I was afraid. I don't do it now, but I did do it. And I was afraid that he was going to do something to me, which he never, ever, ever, ever did. He, my husband that I'm with now for 23 years never laid a hand on me. But because of the post-traumatic stuff in my life, it caused me to do that. So I had to go to therapy and do all that in order to get out of that. It's a vicious cycle.
Yes,
it's
yes,
a
definitely.
Vicious cycle. And it's not
definitely.
That I wanted to do it, but I was afraid. You know, certain things, you know, it would throw me back if I heard a word or if I heard a sentence or if somebody raised their voice. You know what I mean?
Right.
It would make me do that. And it's
right.
a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. It's a horrible
yes.
thing.
Yes.
That's
yes, it
when
is.
You find
that's
people who are abused, they become the abuser.
Yes.
Right.
They do.
That is true.
Because it happened to me, and it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And if you don't get help, if you don't reach out and get help, it can really, really ruin your life.
Definitely.
Yes, it can.
It can ruin your life.
It can, because a lot of these abusers come from homes where they've seen their mother and father abusing one another. Father is abusing the mother. So they figure that this is the right thing to do. They get a girlfriend, and she don't do something, he goes upside her head. And that's not how you handle situations like that. You either get out of it, walk away, or never get involved because, you know, you're not supposed to put your hands on anybody, only in self-defense. If someone's trying to hurt you or something, you know, but for someone just to beat somebody down and degrade them and dehumanize them and treat them like crap, because, you know, you're this big man, quote-unquote, that has that power, you know, that's not good.
No,
no
it's not.
Not at all.
Mm-mm.
And domestic
so that
violence.
That stays with the person all their life. I don't care what nobody
definitely.
Says. Definitely.
And it affects your relationships in so many different
sure
ways,
does.
You know, whether it's just a friendship you know, a relationship with a sibling or a cousin, what have you, it affects your relationships in so many different ways and how you
and
deal with
people.
And
if you don't have a strong man in your life who can overcome that and who can understand and who can be sympathetic and who can love you and know that that's not really you, then
right.
there it goes.
Right. Definitely.
I was blessed to have that type of man who knew that that was not me and who stayed with me and who helped me, you know. And thank God, and I'm serious, thank God that I was able to overcome that. And I still go to therapy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this man has stayed with me and realized that something happened to me. These things happened to me, you know what I'm saying, through no fault of my own. Someone
right.
abused me. And so, you know, it wasn't that I abused someone. They abused me, and it affected me so badly. You know, it's not a thing, you know, when somebody almost takes your life, and you didn't do anything to them. You know, I actually almost died from that stabbing on a street corner. That is not cool.
No, it's not. It most definitely is not. And then for the women who, you know, cover up for these men who let them do these things to them, and you get in court and then you say, well, I don't want to press charges.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives him the opportunity to do it again and again. And then eventually you may not make it to court because you're going away in a box somewhere. You know,
right.
So if you're being abused out there, you know, any woman that's listening to this show, and men, because men get abused as well,
right.
You know, pick up the phone and call somebody because you, the life you save might be your own.
Exactly.
You know.
And I used to never talk about it. You know, I didn't want to, I wanted to forget about it. I didn't want to talk about it. You know, I was raped at an early age. I had to go through that. I mean, I had to go through grand jury. I had to, my mother insisted that I do that. I had to go, and I had to put this guy away and come to find out he had done it before. And, you know, all of these things, you know, led up to, you know, a young girl like myself having to go through all this stuff, you know, it put something on me. And it just, you know, but like I said, God, you know, has a way of working with the person and helping them and coming through their lives and getting in there. And you have to be open to all that. And I tell you, you know, I'm a senior now, but I tell you one thing, it worked for me. And I just thank God that all that stuff that I went through, you know, I have a family like everybody else. And, you know, all of that stuff helps support and all of that. You know, you have to be able to speak out and let people know. You know, you can't keep it inside because that's what messes everything up. You can't keep this stuff inside. And you can't be ashamed of it. You know what I mean?
No,
you
can't.
Speak about it.
And I believe that's why
a
lot of women keep it inside, because they're ashamed, because their self-esteem is torn down, and they feel that no one cares for them. So they say, well, why should I even bother to tell anybody? Nobody's going to believe me. Nobody wants to be bothered. So they keep it in themselves, and they stay with their abuser because their abuser has practically brainwashed them to believe that he's the only one that cares for them.
Exactly.
He's the only one that loves them. When that's not love, how can you care for somebody and love someone and at the same time beat the crap out of them? But, you know, women's self-esteem has been torn down so low until they believe that and they accept these men until eventually they kill them.
Yeah.
What happens. So, Josiane, what would you say to the Jasmines today, you know, as far as like Jasmine in the book, what would you say to someone, at, you know, like Jasmine?
I would say, first off, domestic violence of any form is never okay. And it's okay to seek help. And more importantly, you should not suffer in silence. Whether it's telling a friend, just voicing it sometimes helps you to build that courage to leave. You know, speak to someone and definitely get the help that you need.
Yep. Got to do what you got to do, because if you don't, it's just like a cancer. It keeps spreading and spreading and spreading and spreading. And, eventually, it'll be so uncontrollable until it's going to be to a point where they're going to think this is the norm.
Definitely.
You know, so we got to do something about it, ladies. Speak up, get up, stand up, and voice what you have to say. Don't let a man beat on you, hit on you, do anything to you besides love you and take care of you and protect you. That's what a man is for. Anything else, he's not a man, just a coward. Because any time a man hits a woman, you know, he's a coward. Simple as that. So I just have to say that I'm glad that I am a survivor. And any other woman out there who is a survivor, congratulations. And women who are out there going through what they're going through, please get help. There's help out there for you. Don't be afraid. you know, to speak up. Tell somebody, because somebody, you tell enough people, out of all the people you tell, somebody is going to listen and somebody is going to care. So you're going to have to just, you know, just stand up. If you got to scream, do that. But, you know, don't suffer in silence. Please don't let these men continuously do what they're doing to these women. And women, stop beating on these men and hating and fighting these men, because I haven't met the woman yet, but I'm going to write a story about a woman who beats men up. Mm. But this is a whole different thing. That's a story. But I have not met a woman yet that could actually beat a man, because even though you're abusing that man, it doesn't mean that he cannot hurt you. It's just that he's being a man about it. And then some of these men that stay in these abusive relationships are staying partially for the kids or whatever reason. Maybe they had nowhere else to go. But you have to also think about your kids. Do you want your kids to live in an environment where mommy and daddy are always fighting, throwing pots and pans and stabbing, fussing and cussing? You don't want your children to go through that, because, number one, you're branding them. They're going to grow up and they're going to feel that this, you know, well, mommy and daddy did it, so it must be right. You know, kids emulate their parents. They emulate what they see. So you have to set a good example for your children. And, you know, don't be in the home fussing and fighting. And like I said, I didn't know that my children knew what was going on until, you know, later on my daughter told me. And I feel so bad about it, but I can't change it. You know, if I could, I would, but I can't change it, you know. But also be careful when you think your children are not listening and, you know, and not hearing things, because little ears can hear big things.
That's right. That's
you know. So, Josiane, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you and where they can get your book.
Sure. You can get in contact with me to find out my information, book information, signing updates on my website. That's at www.josiannedennis-frazier.com. I'm also on Facebook at Josiane Dennis-Frazier Author, on Twitter at Author J.D. Frazier, Instagram at Author _ Josiane Dennis-Frazier. You can find the book for sale on UrbanEdgePublishing.com and also Amazon.com, and it's available in Kindle form.
Okay. All right. So everybody, you get that information, how you can get in touch with Josiane and get her book. Please get that book, because it was definitely a good read. And like Josiane mentioned, if it could help just one person, that's one person good enough. Okay. So we've come to the end of another fabulous show, and we'd like to thank our special guest, Josiane. And we're going to give Josiane a great big round of applause. Okay, Josiane, I want you to know this is your second home, and you're welcome back anytime, and we do appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, anytime, darling, anytime. And I want to thank my co-host this evening, Terry, and my listening audience. Terry, can you let everybody know how they can get in touch with you as well?
Well, I am a novice writer, and the only place you can get in touch with me is Facebook. And you can get in touch with me. My name is Terry, T-E-R-R-I-E, New Attitude, Brown-Cox, C-O-X. And you can find me on there. You can find any kind of dinner that you want, because I put all my food on there. And you can find me on Facebook at any time. And it was so nice meeting you, Josiane, my New York friend.
Wow. Thank you.
Right. So you guys already know who I am. I'm an author, ghostwriter, poet, and a publisher, and you can visit my website, which is JJ Publishing. That's JAYJAYPublishing.com, where you can get an autographed copy of any of my books, especially my number one bestseller, Back to Zero. I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, at Gail Delicious Johnson, and JJ Publishing is my fan page. Or you can just Google me at Gail Delicious Johnson. Okay, I want you guys to remember, if you drink, don't drive. If you drive, don't drink. I like talking to you guys, not about you. Never look down on a man unless you're helping him up. Spread love and give love. Love you guys and have a wonderful weekend. Good night, Josanne. Good night, Terry. Everybody,
good night,
love
Gail,
you guys.
Bye-bye.
Good night, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to my Nana's Internet Radio Show, because it's the best. Good night.